Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Numbers chapter 11. Now the people became like those who complain of adversity in the hearing of the Lord. And when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. The people therefore cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire died out. So the name of the place was called Taberah because of the fire of the Lord burned among them. The rabble who were among them had greedy desires, and also the sons of Israel wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we used to eat free in Egypt, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our appetite is gone. There is nothing at all to look at except this manna." Now, let's just pause there for a moment. There was a susceptibility to Israel to fall into complaining. And they had done it throughout their journey in the first year in the desert. Now we're in the second year. There's been a time of faithfulness for Israel since the tabernacle got set up. But now they're reverting back to complaining. And the problem, I think, in this is not necessarily the complaint of wanting food. It's the greediness that we heard about, greedy desires, which we don't necessarily know exactly what is meant by that. But they had greedy desires. And also, they pleaded that they were better off in Egypt. And it was like better in Egypt. And why again they did this in the past? Why again have you freed us to bring us out here? So they lost perspective. And instead of just asking God to bless them, they complained, doubted, and wanted to go back to slavery. And after all God did for them, that was very, very frustrating. Now, to identify with the people for a moment, What a miracle, by the way, it would be to eat manna and have that come out with the dew every day, and they would gather it up. I mean, they're seeing a miracle of God every day. But because they're seeing it every day, they're becoming complacent in how God has provided for them. And they're forgetting the miracles, and they're forgetting the hand of God. And their stomachs and appetites are fueling their criticism. And really what they should have did is they should have, instead of complaining, just respectfully talk to Moses and ask Moses to pray and ask God, not in a complaining tone, but just ask God for a blessing of other food to eat. But instead, because they like wished they were back in Egypt and complained that they even escaped, that was a big criticism that they were making towards God. And, you know, he's frustrated about how quick they can lose insight. Listen, our stomachs and our appetites sometimes, you know, will make us, you know, what do you call that? Hangry. Sometimes we can be hangry, right? And that is kind of the nature of people. But they did not handle this well, and God was not pleased. You know, if you think about it, look what Moses did when that fire burned the outskirts, and some people might have lost their lives on the outskirts of camp. But Moses prayed, and the fire died out. And that should have been Israel's response, is, "Oh, Lord, we really would desire some other food. We wish we could have other food. We thank you, first of all, Lord, for all that you've done and all the miracles you've done, and what a blessing it is to have you as our God. If it would be possible, Lord, could you bless us with some other food?" And you know what? He would have probably blessed them with it. But instead, they're complaining in a bad way. So that's what God's frustration was, because it's leading him to believe that they're going to be a wayward people and that this is going to continue to be their history. And it really was. Verse 7, "Now the manna was like coriander seed, and its appearance like that of bdellium. The people would go about and gather it and grind it between two millstones, or beat it in the mortar and boil it in the pot and make cakes with it. And its taste was as the taste of cakes baked with oil." Doesn't sound that bad. "When the dew fell on the camp at night, the manna would fall with it." A miracle. "Now Moses heard the people weeping through their families, each man at the doorway of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly, and Moses was displeased." Moses didn't like having this pressure on him, and it's interesting how he's going to talk to God right now. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you been so hard on your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight that you have laid the burden of all this people on me? Was it I who conceived all this people? Was it I who brought them forth that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a nursing infant to the land which you swore to their fathers'? Where am I to get meat to give to all these people? For they weep before me, saying, 'Give us meat that we may eat.' I alone am not able to carry all this people because it is too burdensome for me. So if you are going to deal thus with me, please kill me at once if I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness." Wow. Moses is knows his own wretchedness here, and he's complaining. He's exhausted trying to lead all these people and take all of their complaints. It's just completely wearing him out. And he's like at the point where he's like, "I'd rather die than deal with this." It's quite an authenticity in the Bible here and on Moses's part. And, you know, as we're going to see, the Lord is frustrated with their complaining, but he definitely has compassion for Moses and the situation. And there's too much burden on Moses at this point. "So the Lord therefore said to Moses, 'Gather for me 70 men from the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and their officers, and bring them to the tent of meeting, and let them take their stand there with you. Then I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take of the Spirit who is upon you, and will put him, the Spirit, upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, so that you will not bear it all alone.'" Well, this is interesting. God's going to provide a greater leadership structure for Moses. And, you know, as we see and think about the Spirit, and this is why we live in such a different age today. You know, when the church began on Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover, and the Holy Spirit came upon everyone who believed in Jerusalem, and from then forth, the Holy Spirit is poured out on the church, those who believe in him. It's a different dispensation. And we can all have the Spirit of the Lord guiding and giving us counsel. It's quite amazing. In this season of history, God had his Spirit come on people at special times and in special ways, but it wasn't in all of Israel. It wasn't in all the people who believed in Yahweh. So in this case, now instead of it just being Moses, he's going to give the Spirit to other leaders that's going to help them have the ability to lead. So now he's saying in verse 18, "Say to the people, 'Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow you shall eat meat, for you have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, Oh, that someone would give us meat to eat, for we were well off in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. You shall eat not one day, not 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you, because you have rejected the Lord who is among you, and have wept before him, saying, Why did we ever leave Egypt?" And that's what really frustrated God, is they've essentially rejected him and said, we're better off. Why do we even leave Egypt? And that, after all that God has done and all the plans that he has for them, that hurt. That, like, it really was distasteful to the Lord's ears. But Moses said, "The people are among whom I am are 600,000 on foot. And you have said, 'I will give them meat so that they may eat for a whole month.' Should the flocks and herds be slaughtered for them to be sufficient for them? Or should all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to be sufficient for them?" Now listen to this statement. Moses is like, how are you going to possibly do this? How can you feed this many people? "The Lord said to Moses, 'Is the Lord's power limited?'" Wow, what a word. "Now you shall see whether my word will come true for you or not." I mean, this is going to be marvelous. I mean, 600,000 people are going to eat meat. How do you do that unless you are God? And, you know, this reminds me of Jesus feeding the 5,000, but now this is 600,000 and it's meat. The power of the Lord, he can do anything. It's incredible. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. Also, he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and stationed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and he took of the Spirit who was upon him, Moses, and placed him, the Spirit, upon the 70 elders. And when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, but they did not do it again. Now, that's really interesting. They prophesied. In both Old and New Testaments, I do think there's a misunderstanding of what prophecy is. Because we talk a lot about the prophecy of, you know, God's prophets in the Old Testament predicting future things, we tend to always think of prophecy in that way. But it's not, that's not what it means in every instance. It can mean to speak forth, to utter forth words of God, like to have God equip you to speak things that are of him to the people. Now, sometimes, like obviously we're not talking about someone speaking words that are going to become biblical words or that are as authoritative as God's, but we are saying that now in this time with these 70 elders and even in the church age today, there are times when a believer can speak forth something that's wisdom from on high from God and can utter forth, and even where God can like literally control the lips of a believer and help them utter forth something that is holy and true and of God in a really special way. That doesn't mean that we make it Bible. That doesn't mean that the person is a modern day apostle. It just means that God's Spirit is powerful and he is still using his Spirit to speak truth to people today. And sometimes, you know, that's what people need, you know, thinking of a son in my life who needs to repent of sin he's living under right now. I'm so sad to say that, but I wish that God would bring forth someone to, you know, prophesy over him. And I don't mean predict necessarily, but just speak words that he knows are from God. And it's a conviction because, like, you know, I'm not sure he's reading the Bible right now, right? I'm not sure he's seen the Bible as revered and inspired. So he's not receiving it with the power that's in it. But if somebody came to him and spoke words of truth to him, and for whatever reason, he would even sense that it was under divine inspiration, like, wow, God just spoke to him as though it was almost like from an angel. Sometimes God can use words like that to really challenge, convict, change, or transform someone's life. And that's what prophecy can mean. It's not just predictions about the future. And prophecy can still, prophetic words can still happen today. And by me, by believers, by those who have the Spirit of God. And that's what we're seeing here. But two men had remained in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other Medad, and the Spirit rested upon them. Now they were among those who had been registered, but had not gone out to the tent, and they prophesied in the camp. It's almost like they're being accused of that, which is kind of interesting. So a young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, the attendant of Moses from his youth, said, Moses, my Lord, restrain them. But Moses said to him, are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. Then Moses returned to the camp, both he and the elders of Israel. I really think that's an interesting statement. You know, Joshua is coming on the scene and asking Moses to take control of these guys and tell them to stop. And he says, are you jealous? And the would question there is almost like, I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. And what a amazing word by Moses to have that kind of wisdom and to say, you know what, I want all of you to prophesy. And, you know, this kind of reminds me of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 14. He says something very similar about prophecy and even tongues. he's like, hey, I wish that all of you had what I had. And now God does give gifts to men that he chooses. So not everyone's going to have every spiritual gift, but we should be open that God can speak forth and utter forth glorious spiritual words from us because we're born again and we have God's Spirit working. And when someone was accused of operating under the Spirit, Moses is like, great, I wish more would operate under the Spirit. So that's a really cool word that we find here in Numbers 11. Now there went forth a wind from the Lord, and it brought quail from the sea and let them fall beside the camp about a day's journey on this side and a day's journey on the other side all around the camp and about 2 cubits deep on the surface of the ground. The people spent all day and all night and all the next day and gathered the quail. He who had gathered least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them out for themselves all around the camp. While the meat was still between their teeth before it was chewed, the anger of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord struck the people with a severe plague. So the name of the place was called Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people who had been greedy. From Kibroth Hattaavah of the people set out for Hazeroth, and they remained at Hazeroth. And it appears the worst of the complaints and the worst of the greed of the people, that there was a consequence for that. And some people lost their lives through a plague. You know, may we trust God. May we not doubt him. God is good, and he fed them here. Instead of going to complain, come to the Lord and ask for his blessing. Ask for God to give you your need in awe of him. We should always approach God with a sense of, God, you are Lord, you are awesome. I'm thankful for you. This is a request of your humble servant. And I believe God wants to respond to that and wants to bless you. But we shouldn't come to him in a spirit of doubt or angst or anger. Now, I do think that in the church age, you know, it's different. You know, we've become the bride of Christ. The Holy Spirit now has come into us like he did those 70 leaders. And I don't think in general God is bringing plagues upon his bride, his church, like he did here in the Old Testament. I really believe in this dispensation, the proximity to God. We have access to God like the high priest did in the most holy place. His Holy Spirit has actually come to reside inside of us. So it's a different season, and God is operating with us differently. But nonetheless, we can learn from what these guys did wrong, how not to approach God. We shouldn't be like, oh God, you know, why did you ever save me? We should just trust him. We're gonna go through some suffering in this life. Don't allow that to make you doubt God, but just surrender yourself to him and ask for God's blessing. Don't have a spirit of complaint against God. I don't think that's what he desires. Yet, at times, I think God allowed David and even allows us to be honest with him. So, you know, it's hard to say that this is always consistent, because, you know, David cried out to his Lord and God responded to him. But I have a feeling if we could be here in the camp and could have seen the distasteful way that some of these folks were complaining about going back to Egypt and almost like mocking God, why did he ever save us? Like just the kind of thoughts and intentions of their heart that weren't right, it really, really displeased God. So watch our minds, watch our lips. Let's not get to that kind of a place in God. I think in humility, you can come to him honestly, but don't be in spite of God. Don't talk in spite of him. And I believe that's what they did. And there was a cost here. Praise God also that he has put his Spirit in you. And remember that there could be times when even you could speak under divine inspiration, not to make a new Bible book, not to be a modern day apostle, but just that God can actually say beautiful, wonderful, spirit-led words, even from your lips and mine. Hope you got something out of Numbers chapter 11. God bless you all.